This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 91. Tom, top of the time of day to you.
Whatever time of day it is for you right now, that's what time it is for us.
Yes, exactly.
It's a shared community.
We're having a lot of fun sharing said time.
Hold your index finger up and let's touch like E.T. That was powerful.
Mine went a bit red.
Oh, sorry. Always wear protection.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't touch tips. That's
no,
what I learned from Sausage Party. There's a whole thing about let's just touch tips.
I mean, you can if you want to, but if you don't want to, we could decide.
That's a thing.
Yeah. All the way back here. Hey, there's a quiz today that I didn't come up with.
Oh.
A listener did.
Ooh.
You know how we always say send in quizzes?
Yes, it's happened.
It's happened. Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and that's where we get the quizzes and questions and all that sort of stuff from.
There's no gatekeeper you have to deal with, right?
No. It's just Gmail.
Awesome.
So easy,
good.
Mate. So easy. I've got some cool news stories. I've been watching some stuff, old and new, and I know that you've always got a nice lineup as well.
I've got some stuff, yes.
And things.
Stuff, things, news.
I've got no...
Some stuff of trailers.
Yeah. You know what? I was reading comments about the... Because we were talking about it last week, the 1917 trailer.
Yes.
And people... Because we liked it. We were talking about
yeah.
it. People like it. The way... They managed to bring so much like stress, anxiety, emotion to it was in the space of, well, it was just that beginning bit of the trailer
sure.
where
the,
he's running and the numbers come up. And I went, yeah, you're right. It's a great way to start a trailer. It's a solid trailer.
I think that's what I responded to the most. I was like,
me too.
Oh, this feels intense.
And then when that bit finished, I'm like, okay, what's it about? What's yeah. it about? Held me to the end. If you haven't seen it, have a watch and you'll
so
see.
So some people just couldn't handle it.
No, they loved it.
Oh, they're all about
all over it.
Okay,
they were
good.
Like, this is how you do trailers. Get us feeling all the emotions. Get us feeling really stressed out even though we don't know why.
That's right. It didn't give too much context
no.
to the events in there. And so it's not spoiling anything. Mm-mm. It's not like you can sit there and go, oh, well, they're going to do this and this. No. It's just,
really,
wow, okay.
Really good.
That trailer... combined with having seen Hobbs and Shaw, made me go and watch Crank 1 and 2 again this
oh,
week.
Oh, yeah? Yeah?
Just I needed that intense feeling.
And?
It delivers.
That's nice.
First one's a lot better story-wise, but the second one's got some amazing techniques. Rollerblading, steady cams and stuff.
One of my all-time favourite movies, brackets, not really, just remember watching it an awful lot as a kid, was an... rollerblading movie. I think it was called something like Airborne.
Ooh.
And it had a very young Seth Green in it. And he was like the friend.
Of course he was. That's who Seth Green has played until he got Robot Chicken.
The friend. And the two mains, I don't know their names and I don't think I saw them anywhere else. But he was not Seth Green. Was the main guy was very good at rollerblading.
Was this 80s or 90s?
Oof,
it would have been 90s.
Very early 90s, yeah.
And this is blading, not skating, right?
Yeah, blading. It was around the time where Jason Priestley, a.k.a. Brandon Walsh, was doing his rollerblading in Beverly Hills 90210, you know, just to get the girls going.
Oh, so like yeah. Poochie.
That's right. It was very cool. I think it was called Airborne. If you've seen it and you know... thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Help us solve this
yeah,
mystery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, do you want to kick off the news? I feel
sure.
like I did last time.
Why not? Why not? So I got very excited to see, I don't know anything more than a poster that I tagged you in.
Yes.
For a new show coming, a game show called Misery Index. It starts October 22nd and it's hosted by the Impractical Jokers with Jamila Jamil, Tahani from The Good Place.
Definitely not a combination that I expected, but once I saw it, I was like, I need to see more.
I'm very on board with this. I have no idea what it could be. I'm sure it will be some sort of weird, awkward, have a rough go game show where the Impractical Jokers do stuff to you.
So do you reckon they're going to try and steer her towards, like, being Tahani? Like, can you try and just be a little bit like that?
Look, Tahani's the only acting gig she's ever had. Over in the UK before that, she was like a Radio 1 presenter.
Right.
So she's used to being on camera chatting with people and stuff. So this is way more in her usual wheelhouse.
Yeah, right.
And I think she'll be largely the host, but maybe get involved with an occasional game where I think the four of them are going to play games with people.
Fun.
Yes. I could imagine it being an improvised game show where you've got to be involved with scenes and then the audience votes or something like that. I could be completely wrong. It could be like Flinch and it could be a weird torture-based show.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It could be that, or it could be like what you're saying, but the prize is not necessarily a prize. It's the loser has to do this at the end.
Sure.
So you get all of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Ooh.
When you sent that link, I was just like, there is no other show that was specifically created for you.
I know. I know. A game show with the Impractical Jokers and someone from The Good Place. It's
a winner in your eyes already.
That's going to be first watch on the pile every week.
Oh, hell yeah.
With Better Moves and David Brent. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I saw, speaking of first watches, I've finally got to see something that is going to be streaming on Apple TV.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And it's a little bit like the 1917 trailer in that the beginning you're like, I actually don't know really well. I'm kind of getting an idea of what this is about. So it's Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, and it's called The Morning Show. Or as
yes,
I've typed,
okay.
The Maury Show. The Maury Show.
The Maury
Show.
Because
I forgot to pop the N in. Oop. But it's just shots of empty sets, empty like TV control rooms, that kind of thing, with voiceover, their voiceovers, and it's kind of them going, it's important to be the first to tell the news. I like getting up in the morning. So it's the three actors giving lines that are obviously from their characters,
sure.
who are people who are on this morning show. So it's like Sunrise, Today, all those sort of shows. That's what it looks like. But the music that it had and the feel to it feels very dramatic.
Okay.
But you've got Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell. Like, to me, that sounds like it's going to be, you're going to have a bit of a laugh, go, that's good.
Oh, but I'm surely it's them, all of them like to scratch a dramatic itch from time to time. So I think it could be like one of the, like a very strong dramedy.
Mm.
Maybe they're going for that, like, it could be in the style of This Is Us, like a very serialized thing. But if it's Apple Plus, they're going to make it as high profile and classy event television as possible.
Absolutely.
So
this is obviously their big first bang. This is what we're doing. This is who we've got.
Maybe there's some big incident that happens in the first episode, or
maybe
someone gets accused of something.
Ooh. Intriguing. So we'll still have to find out more about it because that's literally all that they have released about it.
Sure.
Cool. It's good to see that they are doing things.
They are doing things.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Yeah, that's right.
So Universal were putting out a movie called The Hunt in late September, I think, and I saw ads for it, like trailers, when I went to the movies in the States. And it looks pretty full on. It's got Hilary Swank. It's been cancelled. And so, like, they've already done advertising for it and this sort of stuff.
So it's filmed.
Filmed, ready to go out. Now, they decided to postpone it a little bit because of the mass shootings that have happened.
Oh, okay.
Which, that's not the first film this has happened
no.
to. That happens plenty of times, unfortunately.
Mm.
However, once that happened, some word got out of what the film was about. Now, if you watch the trailer, it paints a different story to the synopsis. The synopsis is basically a privileged left elite hunt conservative people for sport.
Jeez.
Yes. Now, if you watch the trailer, what the film is about, as you would assume, is the people being hunted turning on the hunters.
Okay.
So the film is very much championing the conservative message, but people have reacted so strongly without even watching the trailer that Trump got fired up about it. And it steamrolled this whole thing, and so Universal have decided to cancel releasing the film for the time being.
Damn.
And keep it for, they will put it out at some point. They may just dump it on video on demand or something like that.
Hmm.
Or they may wait a year or two. Perhaps there'll be a changing of the guard in
you
leadership.
Never know.
And they can put it out then. But
that's interesting.
It's a big deal.
Because the synopsis itself sort of sounds like it could potentially be like a Ben Elton kind of book.
Yeah, there's a UK film called Severance, which is about a bunch of office workers that go on a weekend retreat and then end up being hunted by, they're not Russian, but, you know, some sort of...
bad guy.
Crazy bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole thing. And this sounds very similar to what that's about, of rising back up against the people in charge in the area you're in. And that was very much a horror comedy in the vein of like a Shaun of the Dead, that type of thing.
Yep,
and that worked. This does not look like it's a huge comedy. It's a satire, but it's not yuck yuck funny.
I mean, what they're kind of going for is really interesting, and really interesting in this weird time.
It is. And that brings me to my next news story.
Yes.
Because that's an awkward take on current times that hasn't panned out.
Mm.
Now, there's a director I love, director-writer called Chris Morris. He's made one film so far called Four Lions, which was from, I want to say, about 2010, somewhere around there.
I vaguely remember the name.
So it's a UK comedy. It's very, very funny. It's about Islamic extremists who are going to blow themselves up during the London Marathon.
Right.
And it's a straight-out comedy, and it has the best use of top loaders dancing in the moonlight in any film ever.
And that song's used a lot.
It is used a lot, but they crush it. He makes very difficult to watch things. So he was also responsible for Brass Eye and The Day Today and kind of the fake news format starting over in the UK. He's got a new film coming out. They filmed it in secret. So in the same way, when I heard what Four Lions was, I was like, that can never be released.
Mm.
So this film's got Anna Kendrick in it.
Yeah, right.
Which is a big name.
Mm.
Kyver Novak pops up in it as well. And a few other people that you recognize in this sort of stuff. But it's about... I'm not sure if it's the FBI or the CIA manipulating American criminals to become terrorists in order so they have someone to shut down. And like creating bullshit lies about what's going on inside the country in order to get more funding, but manipulating these absolutely harmless idiots into ending up on terror lists.
So this is obviously, well, not obviously, but I'm assuming it's going to be a comedy.
Yes.
Which is, you know, in all honesty, the only way this story is going to be able to be told, I think.
It's called The Day Shall Come.
Okay.
And yes, it's about US extremism.
Wow.
So it's not necessarily Al-Qaeda or specific things. It's about extremism as a whole and how both sides feed into the growth of legend around, you know, around people that don't necessarily deserve all the hype about.
That's so interesting.
He makes, it's really difficult to try and explain what this trailer does. Go and watch this trailer.
What's it called again?
The Day Shall Come.
The Day Shall Come, okay.
Doesn't have an Australian release date yet
that
I've seen, but that could change. The trailer only went up a few days ago. As I said, they filmed it in secret in the backwaters of Europe somewhere.
That's amazing.
A lot of people are going to have a lot of problems with this film when it comes out, and I cannot wait.
You've actually got me interested, not just for the trailer, but to watch. And now I'm also interested about The Hunting as well.
I feel like these two films are a weird bookend to each other.
They really are.
Of a topic of here's one way of handling it, and by being secretive with the trailers and this sort of stuff, perhaps they've misled people with The Hunt, and that's backfired on them. And then there's the other way of make it all secretly and then just announce it before you're about to put out, and that'll work.
Don't have people think about it too long.
So this guy, Chris Morris, if you watched the IT Crowd, he was the boss on the first season.
Oh, right, skinny, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it not Douglas?
Oh, I can't remember.
Anyway, he's a comedy god. This film will be amazing. I will happily put my stamp on it now. This film is going to rock.
Yeah, right.
Because anything he touches turns to gold. He's a recluse because he got banned from the BBC because they gave him money to do a Christmas episode of Brass Eye, which was basically a fake version of A Current Affair.
I love it.
And one episode, it was about drugs, and they convinced all these politicians to talk on camera holding a urinal cake saying that this was a drug called cake that was destroying lives. And one politician took it into Parliament and talked about it on the floor. He got banned from the BBC because they gave him money to do a Christmas episode of that, and he did a one-hour pedophilia special.
Oh, no.
Yep.
He just goes for it.
He just goes too far.
Interesting. All right, let's shake it up a little bit. So we've been talking the past few weeks about news regarding the second Coming to America movie, the sequel. So there's more casting news. John Amos, a.k.a. Cleo McDowell, the father-in-law, mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy's father-in-law, he's signed up. He's cast as the same character. So he's going to be in it, which is amazing. James Earl Jones is going to be King Jeff. The King, Eddie Murphy's father.
I did see that one.
Yeah, that's a cool. Big one. Yeah. That's a big one. Wesley Snipes and Leslie Jones are also in it. Now, they weren't in the original, but that's interesting. And it seems like this movie is already like a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Without it being...
Everyone's different. On board.
Yeah. Mm. It's kind of a nice feeling.
Yeah, they seem to be handling this one right.
Mm.
It's not about let's reboot the memories you have. This seems to be, let's continue with what you enjoyed, which knew that's what we wanted.
That's exactly what we want. So, yeah, look out for more info. I'm actually hanging for a trailer. I know that it's very early, but the trailer, surely they'll bring one out soon-ish.
Ooh, I could imagine them having something for Christmas.
I hope so.
I could very much see it being potentially put on the front of Jumanji 2, or Jumanji 3, technically.
That's the right audience.
Yeah.
People who are going for nostalgia, but also that kind of comedy.
Do you think they'll work Kevin Hart in somewhere? He seems to be a missing piece.
Maybe. Could he be somebody working in the McDowell's restaurant?
Hmm?
Because they all did.
Yeah.
He'll be an employee there, just on the fries or something.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, look, and that just speaking about trailers that you didn't really get to see anything, Netflix also released the teaser trailer for The Crown Season 3.
Oh.
Now, this is the one with Olivia Colman.
Yes.
You know how they've changed queens. So this one's set in the 1970s. Season 3 and 4 will have the same cast. Like season 1 and 2 had the same cast,
sure.
So they're the same people. But this trailer was basically like, hey, we've got an Oscar winner. That's basically all it was. So it was a doorway, and the music sort of sounded like a clock ticking, and then she walks into frame, stares at the camera, that's the end. It was no more than maybe 20 seconds. She was in the shot for 5, and that's the end.
They should have used her Oscar to prop the door open.
They should
just have. Really hammer that message
this is
home.
So obvious exactly what they were going for. But, you know, people who are Crown fans and Elizabeth and Olivia Colman fans will be like, yeah,
sure.
Let's get on board with
that. That scratches some itches.
Yeah.
Let you know she's coming.
I'm just intrigued to see her in this because the stuff I've seen her in, she's been slightly weird.
Oh, she's always weird.
So how's she going to play the Queen? Well, we'll soon find out.
Has she done wrong yet?
No.
No.
No. She's amazing. All right, what else have you got?
Okay, so What Just Happened with Fred Savage that I have been enjoying. It's got 2 more episodes left of this season, and the bosses are saying that season 2 is unlikely.
Okay.
Which the writing was on the wall for that. It was weird from the get-go and no one understood what was happening. It got better as it went on.
I'm sure it did.
I've been quite enjoying it. It's no secret, like it's just making fun of Chris Hardwick for half an hour a week. And Fred Savage nails his excited insecurities so well of like, hey, let's talk about you, but let's talk about you in a way that I can constantly relate to. It's a very odd show.
Who have they had on so far? Like they've had people from stuff around the Fred Savage era.
Oh, look, they've had that. They've had Rob Corddry. They've had a lot of comedians come on. Ken Jeong was on one episode.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing he was going to be on it.
Yeah. And they basically come on just to promote their own stuff and don't really talk about they might talk about the flair a little bit, but that's... Joel McHale came on and kind of did his old soup persona.
Nice.
That's weird, really cool. Where people are encouraged to come on and play a heightened version of themselves because that's what Fred Savage is doing.
Yeah.
But then there was one episode where Fred's wife and kids at home were doing their own show called What Just Happened while you were filming What Just Happened.
That is, we're going all down a rabbit warren there.
So I'm disappointed because it sounds like season 2 of that is unlikely.
Damn.
However, in news to cheer me up a lot, just before we started recording, HBO announced they've got a one-year lock-in deal with Nathan Fielder, my man from Nathan For You.
Mm.
It's for two things at the moment. There may be more. He's going to be like executive producing and help run a show called How To with John Wilson. John Wilson is a comedian, and he's going to go. Nathan For You is about Nathan going and helping businesses and giving them advice. This is about this guy's going to go around documentary style offering advice to people. But it's going to be filmed first person style, so he won't necessarily be on it all the time. And it sounds like he'll just be going up and bothering people about what they'll be doing and giving them unsolicited advice.
It's all the kinds of awkward that kind of comedy needs.
Yep. So I'm on board with that. And then there's a pilot for Nathan that they're not saying too much about yet, which I don't care what that is. I mean,
you're going to watch it.
Yep. Brilliant. The dude is a comedy genius.
Yeah.
And I don't care that word gets used a lot. This guy is straight up.
Mm. He does there. Stuff that, yeah, other people don't.
And just he's so good at this OCD style comedy of obsessive layers, and you can just, his stuff is so layered, you can rewatch it a lot of times.
Mm. I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's so much effort put in.
It reminds me in that respect of shows like Absolutely Fabulous, where the lines are so laced in joke that you don't catch it you don't catch them all on the first go. You got to rewatch, and you're like, oh, whilst I was laughing at that, I didn't realize that at the exact same time that one sentence has created this other joke. It's very clever.
It's very, very clever.
I've got a lot of time for that kind of comedy.
I've never seen someone who's willing to put in like 8 months of work for a joke.
Yeah, okay.
So like he had one episode where he learned to be a professional tightrope walker so he could wear a mask of another guy and make this other guy look like a hero and try and get him a girlfriend. and he literally trained for 8 months.
That's ridiculous in all the best possible ways.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That is commitment.
It really is. You can't get angry at that.
No.
So do we know any dates, or is it just announcing that these are things that will happen?
I have a feeling that the how-to show may end up coming out late this year, mm-hmm. possibly. It sounds like things are progressing on that quite quickly. The Nathan one, I don't know when that okay. will be. I'm happy to wait.
Hmm.
At one point, he took 2 years to do a season of Nathan For You, and it ended up with a movie that should have won an Oscar.
Aww.
It was the most heartfelt, like, oh.
oh. If just thinking about it makes you happy.
If you've never seen it, the last four episodes are one movie put together, and it's, wow, it's really good. About helping a character that had been on the show as a joke,
yeah,
peeling the layers and finding out who this guy is and helping him track down a woman he broke up with 50-something years earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And it takes twists and turns, and maybe he's not a good guy, and yeah.
It's all of the things.
It's all of the things.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Having a beauty regime is not only a lot of work, but ridiculous. If you're not a full-time rich person who can afford to have makeup artists, stylists, and style artists to look after your face, you don't really have a regime. You get up in the morning more tired than you did when you went to bed. Sleeping has somehow sucked all the moisture out of your skin, and somebody replaced your eyes with black holes. There's no amount of makeup you can use in the 45 seconds you've allocated to doing your face that will make you look like a freshly together person. So why make yourself feel bad? Why make life harder than it needs to be? It'll Do Makeup covers those bad things on your face just enough that you can walk out of the house knowing you'll look good enough not to scare people. In this busy world, that's good enough, right? It'll Do Makeup. In all chip aisles, in all the supermarkets, because who can be bothered with walking down a different row? I've got one last story, just okay. a quick little one. It was basically just at a press conference for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino said that he's thinking about making his next movie a horror movie because he's never actually made a horror film before.
Sure, cool.
He said, if I come up with a terrific horror film story, I'm going to do that as my 10th movie. Meanwhile, he's only made 10, like 9? That's surprising.
He always made a rule that he'd only do 10 films.
Ah.
Yeah, he's talked about that a lot.
He's going to start the end then. If he's going to do horror, that'll be the last.
Well, let's just see, because he talks a lot about this sort of stuff. He's got a Star Trek movie on the cards.
That's right, he does too.
So let's just see. Maybe that doesn't count because it's not an original creation. I'm very down with the idea of him doing a horror.
Me too. I think he's going to be superb at it.
But this whole 10 movies thing.
Don't be like that. Also, it's the kind of thing where, like, let's say he made that a plan in the 90s. I'm fine with you, not you, but Quentin Tarantino. I'm fine with Quentin going, oh, look, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. I used to be really edgy and say things for controversy's sake because it was the 90s and that's what we did. Can I keep making movies? That dude's a shark. If he stops moving, he'll die.
No one is going to say, no, look, this is what you said.
Yeah, that's,
it's actually illegal now for you to make the 11th one.
Pretend this is the wrestling. Pretend it's WWE and this is a career-ending match where someone... You know, the loser has to quit the company or they get fired, which is everyone in wrestling knows is just like, oh, someone's going to go and have hip surgery. It's just that sort of thing. Like, just let it be that of, okay, you want to go and take a year off and hang out on the couch and watch a bunch of movies? Do it. It's what you do all the time anyway. But if you want a whole year just to dedicate it?
Fine.
We're okay with that.
Call it a sabbatical. I don't care.
Come out every 3 months and be a critic at a film festival.
Yes.
There you go. Trot around the world for a year.
Be known, but only a little bit. Yeah. All right. Now, you do have lots of trailers. Well, you said you've got some great trailers.
I've got two trailers and two more quick news stories.
Cool.
News story number one, Lion King, the remake that's come out, has hit $1.2 million earning, which means it has edged out Frozen for the highest earning animated movie of all time.
Aladdin was probably the film before, like Disney film, I should say, before Lion King, the most recent.
Yes, Aladdin and Dumbo earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it makes sense. There was so much more hype around the Lion King than Aladdin.
Very much so. People were amped for that. It's got something worth seeing and stuff. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Lindsay and Shay saw it. They loved it.
I was always more of an Aladdin fan than Lion King.
Beauty and the Beast is my jam.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Singing cutlery.
No, Angela Lansbury.
All the good stuff. So 2/3 of that has come from the global market, not the US.
Interesting.
So they predicted that
that's
this might be the case. And a part of that is to do, obviously, with, you know, the film is huge in Africa, as you would expect. And it's done really well in China, which I think China has now officially overtaken the domestic US market for potential returns.
Because whenever we talk about box office, we always now talk about China.
Yeah.
Like it's always part of the conversation now.
It's a huge shift. Mm. And that has led that, but Disney's having a huge year, obviously, because of stuff. On the other side of that, Marvel just passed $5 billion US at the box office this year.
Oh, that hurts.
So that's Captain Marvel.
So much money.
That's Captain Marvel, Endgame, and
Spider-Man.
Far From Home. Now, technically, Spider-Man Far From Home is a Sony release.
Right.
But Marvel, as the umbrella,
yep,
has made over $5 billion, which has never been done before.
That's three movies.
Three movies. That'll likely never be repeated.
No. I mean, look, Marvel still has a lot of hype and momentum around it, but you know, there's always an arc with these things.
That's it. And they're not going to have...
We're at the top of it.
They're not going to have a year where they've got the first female hero, the end of the 23-film saga or whatever, the coda with Spider-Man that everyone loved. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a perfect storm of things for this year. So they've not got any more films coming out till May next year. Mm-hmm. And then next year it's Black Widow and The Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which are expected to be a $2 billion earner. But who knows? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong.
Do you know what I mean? It's not an event. Neither of those are Avengers things, but it makes a lot of sense to pull back and go small again and start the ramp up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people are going to still watch it. Like, they will both still be incredibly successful.
Oh, yeah, they were huge.
Yeah.
But it's just not that crazy storm of luck that hit this year. and then trailer-wise, it's two just very brief things. One, I was stoked to see there was a new trailer for Adam Ruins Everything, Volume 6, which starts this week.
Wow, that's soon.
Very, very soon. And then the other one, there was a new trailer for The Addams Family, the animated version. Did you see this one?
I saw it.
Did you happen to see who at the very end is playing Cousin It?
No.
So they've changed Cousin It slightly, so he looks more like a chihuahua, and Snoop.
Is this
Snoop?
Did not know. I didn't know that at all.
And doing that a bit, but like they've changed Cousin It's language slightly, so it's Snoop doing the doggle fizzle, like the
cheesy man. I didn't even catch that.
All that sort of stuff, but through a weird vocalizer.
I don't have to watch it again. Or something. But that looked fun. That movie looks like it's going to be really good.
It does look really fun. I'm very keen to take Shay to see it, but I have a feeling she's going to go, nope, that looks way too scary. She is six. She's nearly seven.
Yeah, true.
I think for an 8 to 9 year old, that's bang on.
Mm, mm.
But yeah, some of the stuff in that film, like shooting an arrow through Uncle Fester's head and that sort of stuff, might be a bit much.
Yeah, fair enough. I like that it was set in New Jersey. There are a couple of nice little jokes in there in the trailer.
That would be a scary place. Do you think they'll have bears in the movie if they're in New Jersey? They have bears there.
Maybe.
If you think there might be bears in the Addams Family movie in New Jersey, let us know.
Mm-hmm. The Watchers Podcast at gmail.com. What happened to me then?
I don't know, but I don't think I liked it. Are you all right?
I'm fine now, thanks. Whew. Anything else newsy, trailery wise?
Nah, that'll do ya. That was plenty.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, I'm going to start off with not necessarily what I've been watching, but what I have gotten re-addicted to. I was talking about this outside of the podcast with you a couple of weeks ago, and it's still an addiction.
Okay.
Jump back into Stardew Valley.
Yes, yes.
I'm up to year four. And I'm also up to, halfway through year one because I had to also buy the mobile version of it for my phone. Mm. That's how bad it is. It's really bad.
Mm. I got the mobile version on my iPad.
I can't stop doing it.
Oh, I played for like an hour and went, oh no, I remember now, and like took it off.
It's a lot of, I'm very busy. But each farm, in my defense, I don't need to defend this. It's not defendable. I've got a different farm. It's different. It's more foresty, so I can forage more.
Okay.
Except I don't like it because you can't really forage more. It just has more green stuff. But I'm loving it. Loving it. I can't stop. It's really bad. Like, I should be doing other things, and I just want to do a couple of days of Stardew Valley.
Look,
I just want to deal with my farm.
You've got crops.
I've got crops.
There are critters that require your attention.
I literally hardly ever speak to anybody in the village because that's not my motivation. I just want to do crops, occasionally go mining in winter, and do a little bit of fishing.
So you're not really even there for the story.
Not second time around.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got...
First time, yeah, I did all of the things. Oh.
Well, it makes sense. You're a proud landowner now.
Really? Really am so proud. My grandfather is very proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
His ghost comes and tell me every now and then.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In the game. In the game.
Okay.
What have you been watching that hasn't been wasting all of your time?
Oh, look, I've been playing a bit on my Switch because I got Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, now, The Black Order.
How is this? Because I've heard a couple of people go, yeah, it's amazing, and other people having a few issues.
So it's old school kind of you control four characters, or you control one, there are four characters on your team, you can switch between them.
Mm-hmm.
The controls aren't the most intuitive, but once you get the hang of them, then the combos start to come in as you level up and this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it is a commitment of a game. It's one of those games where you've got to level up to really start unlocking the game. And once you do, it's pretty damn good. The story is really solid. I'm impressed by how wide-reaching the character roster is.
Nice.
There's, you know, all the characters you'd expect from the movies. You've got the Guardians of the Galaxy. There are some characters that aren't from the movies, but it's fair to assume that they will be in the movies within the next 5 to 10 years, this sort of stuff.
So with it, Do you get access to all of the characters straight away, or is it like leveling up? So you level up and you get access to different ones.
So it starts off with you have the five Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, technically four. Rocket rides around on Groot's shoulder because it's big Groot.
Yeah, okay.
They then come to Earth. There's Infinity Stones from the films involved, this sort of stuff. There's a breakout happening at the Raft prison, which very cleverly ties in a whole bunch of storylines at once from different years.
Nice.
But essentially has, for anyone who's read these comics, has the Guardians arrive right during the beginning of Brian Michael Bendis' Avengers run, which there was a big prison breakout where a new Avengers team formed to battle who was there. And so the Guardians arrive while this event is taking place, and that starts to build your team up and this sort of stuff. But you can add characters as you go that change storyline directions or how other characters will react. So, you know, there's a big fight early on of Spider-Man versus Venom. As soon as I knock Venom out, Spider-Man starts defending him to the rest and saying, look, he can be good. We should let him join the team.
Yeah.
If you let him join, which of course I did straight away, it's Venom. From then on, people are like, I'm not sure about your team. What's going on with, why is Venom here? And like, it's changed a storyline branch for me. It's very cool.
That's cool.
I enjoy
that. Does that mean that you, like, are you one of those people that just goes, I like the fact that this storyline is catered to how I want it to be? Or are you the kind of person that like, I like this storyline, but I'm also going to have to go back and play the beginning and try a different one? It's just too much of a game?
Oh, it's partly that. And just,
You've picked.
I've picked.
Yeah.
And I don't go back. And there's very few games that I've gone back to play a different storyline through. I like to play how I am going to play. There's a reason why I own many things of Slytherin. I like being shrewd. I like to make bad choices. I like to put bad guys on my team. This sort of stuff.
Yeah. And choose your own adventure books you only read once.
Yeah. Well, look, if my choices chop me off at the knees and I miss out on a third of the storyline, so be it.
Yeah.
Those are the choices I made.
That's actually, I think that's the healthiest way to play those games. Otherwise, you are constantly second guessing, like you're trying to get the best outcome instead of just thinking, no, this is how I would react.
I can't deal with the anxiety of that.
It's too much.
I stress on real life decisions enough. I don't play games to stress on the decisions I make there. I just make them, commit to it, and move forward.
Mm.
It generally works out pretty well, and I have a good time.
And that's the main point.
Yeah.
Just have a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking of good time, I've been watching, just started getting back into it, Derry Girls on Netflix, season 2 of that Irish comedy.
Yes.
With the girls who go to the Catholic school and one of their cousins who's a boy is the only boy in the whole school. Very funny. This second season is a continuation of it, of all the family dynamics and the friends dynamics. And if you haven't seen the first season, it's so worth it. You get some really good giggles. They're like 20, 30 minute long episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think I've seen an Irish comedy like this. And I'm so glad that it exists because it gets me laughing. And that's what you want. Season 2, watch it or I won't talk to you ever again.
Okay, how many episodes?
Oh, it's like English.
Well,
you know,
six?
Yeah, there's six to eight. Six
okay,
to eight.
So it's
I think it's six though.
A few nights watch and you're all caught up.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very funny. What else have you been catching?
So I caught a few episodes of, there's a new show called Sherman's Showcase. And again, I keep picking shows that are very difficult to describe. But Sherman's Showcase is a fictitious show that started in the 70s that was kind of like Countdown here, like Molly Meldrum's Countdown or, you know, a Top of the Pops star show. But the show that we're watching about Sherman's Showcase is executive produced by John Legend. It's a comedy mockumentary about the making of this show and why this guy Sherman became a celebrity.
I already like this premise. This is the kind of thing that I like.
It's a fake mockumentary about a Molly Meldrum-style character.
Yep.
But hosting a, the show starts out and it's very funk, you know, 70s groove and stuff, and then turns blaxploitation. And they've made it very clear that they're going to jump through different musical periods and do weird stuff. But it keeps cutting back to the modern times and like talking with John Legend or a few other people involved in the making of the show now. And John Legend's really funny. Like, I was not expecting him to be so funny.
I've seen him be funny recently.
I've seen him. He's popped up on like Comedy Bang Bang and different things where he's genuinely funny. But this, he's playing himself very seriously. And at one point he's like, he says, you know, people ask me if John Legend's a stage name. It is. My real name is Sydney Legend. And then the name Sydney comes up again later. And he's like, yeah, Sydney, I'm Sydney to my friends, Lord Egot to my enemies, which is the greatest name for him. You know, Egot, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Egot Tony. Legend. It's a very small group. So he calls himself Lord Egot. I don't know where this show's going to go. And I love that. Like, it just feels like it's going to be a fake, you know, like a behind the music style show about a show that never existed, creating artists for different eras. It's a lot of fun.
This is great.
Yeah, Sherman Showcase. I think there's been 3 episodes so far.
I really want to watch that. That sounds really good. Speaking of things that are really good, I finally got around to watching Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, and?
The Keanu Reeves bits are the best. Like, the movie's fine. Like, it's fun. You get a few giggles. But Keanu Reeves is exceptional. There's the scene that you know, like, at the restaurant. Like, you've seen that. But there's also another scene that he's in after that. And he is so funny. And if you are like, I don't know whether I want to watch this movie, I say, watch it for those two scenes alone. The rest is fun. But those, he's... They need to make Always Be My Maybe 2, where it's about him.
Okay, you just want more Keanu.
I just want more Keanu. You're
not feeling my boy Randall Park?
Oh, don't get me wrong.
He's good.
He's fine. He's good.
He's fine.
No, he is good. He is very good. But there's a reason why people were talking about Keanu.
He's having such a comedy year.
He really
Between
is.
Between that and Toy Story 4, Duke Kaboom, he's the breakout of
That's
that.
That's right.
Everyone loves that. There were so many Duke Kaboom shirts at Disneyland.
Were you tempted?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
No, I did not. I bought a small Duke Kaboom pin.
Okay, you got something.
I did
That's
get something.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, what else have you watched?
I watched an episode of the new animated version of Scooby-Doo called Scooby-Doo and Guess Who?
Yeah, what's this like?
Well, they team up with different people each week.
What do you mean?
Well, the episode I watched was with Penn and Teller.
You mean your close personal friends?
Close personal friends, Penn and Teller. And... I don't think it was Teller voicing Teller at the very end when Teller says a few things at the end. I won't give away who was being thwarted by the meddling kids, but it's quite a clever twist. It's a very clever twist. Poor Penn is depressed because magic can't fool him anymore.
Damn, that would be something that's depressing.
So, that's right. And there's a Las Vegas casino is about to be demolished and there's apparently some ghosts in there. So the night before it gets demolished, the Scooby gang show up at the same time as Penn and Teller out to solve a mystery.
What are the chances?
Team up. It was very funny and there was a few adult jokes in there, but there's one part that I have to mention. There's a bit where they've run away from a monster and the 5 members of the Scooby gang and Penn and Teller are in a lift. And the lift is moving slowly and no one's talking and their eyes are all just looking in different directions. And then Daphne's face, the purple dress, cool Daphne, whatever, squinches a little bit. And there's a sound that I'm pretty sure is a fart. And then everyone's eyes awkwardly dart around except for Daphne, who tightens a bit further. And Shaggy, who's standing behind her, just moves back slightly. And it's never addressed in any way. This scene is like 15 seconds long.
That's...
I don't know why it's there, but I had to watch it like 4 or 5 times just to examine the different eyes of characters to make sure I was right about who farted in the lift.
It had you cracking up though, right?
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like normal kitty humor.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that's yeah,
it. It was
yeah.
just literally like a... The tiniest little thing. What? Because that's a relatable moment.
Yeah.
And to find that in the middle of a Scooby-Doo starring Penn and Teller episode was such a treat.
It's the little things. So how much does this Scooby-Doo feel like the classic Scooby-Doo?
So the animation style is pretty bang on.
Nice.
It is a that's more good. Modern version but still looks kind of enough like that to pass.
That's great.
Matthew Lillard is still fantastic as Shaggy.
He is Shaggy. But yes. He is.
The guy that's Scooby, he's okay as Scooby, but he's fantastic as Fred.
Okay.
That's Frank Walker, who's also Megatron.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
The voices.
So, anyways, it was pretty good. Give it a look.
Give it a red hot
Dig
go.
Dig through and see who the special guests for the episodes are and if there's someone you're into. Maybe there's an episode with Harlem Globetrotters. I feel like there's probably an episode with the Harlem Globetrotters because they were on the old Scooby-Doo.
They were. I remember that episode.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
I'm going to just quickly touch on the fact that this week we've got the final Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, are you ready?
Coming up now. Well, yeah and no, because we're recording this and it hasn't happened
That's
yet.
That's right. Do you think we should have a chat about it after it's done?
Yeah, I think we should.
Maybe even a breakout episode?
That'd be a good one. Let's do that.
All right,
done. Let's get on board with that. I just feel that there are a lot of people who I've been speaking with over this season where I've said, Handmaids has come up. And I've gone, yeah, this season's not bad. Some people said it's a bit slow in the beginning, but it's ramping up into something. And they go, oh, I only watched the first couple of episodes of the first season and I couldn't take it too much. I'm like, why are you forcing yourself to miss out on this? It is amazing. You watch it and they're like, oh, I don't know, it's like really intense. I'm like, yes.
That's the point.
Enjoy it for what it is. It's amazing. And once again, Serena is so Serena-y. You're like, she's horrible, but she's just done a good thing. Oh, so she could do that horrible thing, but now she's done that good thing? It's back to a horrible thing. Like, people love to, they just love her because she's so confusing. But I am going to say we will do a breakout episode, which will be really fun. But also, don't forget, it's an Aussie podcast called Eyes on Gilead, and they do a really good job.
Of course.
We've had Fiona on this podcast before, and she's from that. And they're really, they know their stuff. If you are just going, oh, I don't want to watch it, watch it. Please just watch it. You're doing yourself a disservice because it's so clever and the performances are so good. And like the set design, everything is on purpose. You watch it again, like you watch episodes again, or you read an article where they say, did you realize that this was in the background and then that happened? They were basically telling you that that was going to happen. You're like, oh, it's very clever.
Visual foreshadowing.
Also, I think I've already mentioned it, but it's been signed up for a fourth season.
So. Oh, good.
Where will it go? All right, what have you been watching?
We don't need to go into it, but Impractical Jokers came back this week. Hooray.
Hilarious?
Yes. So it's the second half of a season.
Great.
And I think it's very interesting timing-wise. This season will probably wrap up right as this new show starts for them. And
that's
their
great.
Movie will be ready.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have a firm date on the movie yet. They might hold on until next year.
I forgot that was
a thing. Yeah.
But that's cool.
I don't think they're going to do that as a summer release. I think that'll be, let's find a quiet spot and pop it out then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might get an autumn for America. An autumn for us, spring for America
kind of
time. Yeah,
feels like that sort of movie.
Yeah.
There's a spin-off to The Zoo, which is the show
cool.
I enjoy from
yeah.
behind the scenes at the Bronx Zoo and a few of the New York zoos that are things. This is now called The Zoo San Diego, and it's all about San Diego and the wild animal park that they have there as well. And it's awesome.
That's a good zoo. I've been to that one.
It's a great zoo. Mm. And this show is, they're out to be very informative.
I spent a lot of time, this is my main memory of the San Diego Zoo, spent a lot of time watching the hippopotamus underneath the water.
That's the best view.
Yeah. Look what they're doing.
They look like they're dancing.
Yeah,
that's why Fantasia. You're always why have they got dancing hippos? You see
that's
that? You're
why.
Like, all right.
Makes sense.
That's why. So, yeah, there's been two episodes of that. It started on Sunday night, I think, or mm-hmm. something like that. Really good.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We've got a quiz coming up for you very soon, but first let's jump into the return, the mid-season return of Fear.
Yes.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, which is a very short break. I think it was maybe 3 weeks
Yeah.
Very, very short.
Mm.
It was called Channel 4, and I wasn't sure what that was going to be about, and the episode kind of made me think that it was to do with the walkie-talkies. And
yeah.
that's where they're operating on,
yeah.
which is a thing that we know.
They've been using it a lot, or them a lot.
But it seems like I don't know if this is going to be the same moving forward, but the format of the show has changed completely because they...
This is Fear. This is what Fear does.
It is what they do. They found a stash of cameras, batteries and tape, and now Luciana has a camera and they are making a documentary.
Amazing.
Her and Al are filming at all times, and everything that we see on screen is shot by one of the two of them or someone else holding a camera with the group.
This is why I really like Fear. They just mix it up. They're not afraid to go. It's almost like, not that this is a hard reset, but it's almost like they're not afraid to hard reset, and they're also not afraid to experiment and
That's
try
right.
stuff.
And this feels bold and very different. And it's not, I don't think we've seen this sort of thing of, you know, we've seen steady hand cam, first person zombie cheap movies. Yes.
Yeah.
But the idea of someone trying to make a documentary to exist afterwards. It's a very clever idea. And what they're doing is filming this documentary to leave places and show to people as they arrive of we are legitimate. We're not out to try and screw you over. We want to help.
Yeah.
Watch this video and you'll understand. So their intention is to leave it behind with the boxes where there's if they can show it on screens and this sort of stuff. Introduced a few new characters, a pair of which I think we'll see maybe in the background from time to time. I don't expect them to become main characters. And I've forgotten her name, but the lady that was very worried about radiation.
Oh, yeah.
She's hanging around. Grace, is it?
Yeah, Grace.
Yes. She's hanging around with the group.
It kind of felt like she was going to.
Yes.
In the last few episodes of last season.
We got some great trucker speak.
It's always great.
The last few minutes of the episode maybe makes an indication of where things are moving from here on out. I haven't read anything further online. I'm staying a bit out of any spoilers.
A little bit. I know that they've been, particularly on like Twitter and Instagram, I'm sure, they've been throwing out a lot of like mini documentary interviews. Just mini things that potentially will not be related to. But there's also... it was around the time of the – well, it was 3 weeks ago when we saw the last episode of the first half, and they were talking about, you know, things, tree things that could potentially mean something. I don't want to get too spoilery.
Yeah,
either,
the tree does look like a thing.
And it's a thing, yeah. And that's kind of cool, and I'm on board with if they decide that that's going to be what it's going to be, I'm happy with that.
It feels like they are ramping up more chances for this show to be about hope, which main Walking Dead has beaten that out of the characters and made us realize that that's what that show will never be about, whereas this show is kind of becoming the flip. Now, it could be setting up everyone for a very grand fall.
Because that setup of hope has been going for a while now.
And it seems to be growing and working.
Mm.
And it'd be cool if it works, but that's...
It's also, like you said...
it feels like a ticking time bomb.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they have hard reset before, and this could be the hard reset again. Interesting. So we've got another, how many, eight? No, seven episodes?
I think seven, yeah.
And then little wait, and then we've got the main Walking Dead coming. You ready to quiz it up?
I'm so ready.
So this quiz was sent by Brian from San Diego. He sent it to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. He said, you guys have been talking about the new Coming to America movie a bit, so I thought it would be fun to quiz you about the old one. Now, logistically, I couldn't do that because I'm here and I've already read them. So I've done some modifications. So they're quotes. They're from five potential characters. Each time I read a quote, I'll say those five characters for you, and you can guess which one said it. And that's how we're going to do this thing. Number six, if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. Is it Akeem, Semi, Cleo like Mr. McDowell, Reverend Brown or Maurice? If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Whoa, that sounds reverendy.
It does sound reverendy, doesn't it? It is. It's okay. Reverend Brown. Nice one. This is a line that I remember, but I didn't remember the character's name.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I started out mopping the floor like you guys. Then I moved up to washing lettuces. Now I'm working the fat fryer. Pretty soon I'll be making assistant manager, and that's when the big bucks start rolling in. Is it Akeem? Semi? Mr. McDowell, Reverend Brown, or Maurice?
That sounds like a Maurice thing.
It is.
It is?
Oh. It is. Big bucks as assistant
manager.
I don't
remember character names.
I know, it's hard,
this
isn't it?
This is hard.
Fascinating. Semi, look at this. Well, you already know it's not Semi. Mm. America is great indeed. Imagine a country so free you can throw out broken glass on the streets. Is it? Obviously not Semi. Akeem, Mr. McDowell, Reverend Brown, or Maurice?
I'm going to go with Akeem.
Yeah, that's Akeem. That's Akeem. This one. C, they're McDonald's, we're McDowell's. They've got the golden arches, we've got the golden arcs. They've got the Big Mac, I've got the Big Mick. We both got two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onions, but their buns have sesame seeds. My buns have no seeds. Is that Akeem, Semi, Cleo, as in Mr. McDowell, Reverend Brown, or Maurice?
Mr. McDowell.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm going to condense this one because it's obviously one of two. Is this Akeem or Semi? Apparently, these are the best women Queens has to offer. Just pick one and let's go home.
Semi?
Yeah, remember he didn't want any part of it? He wanted nothing. All right, last one. Oh, it was the most amazing game. The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. The Giants triumphed by kicking a pigskin ball through a big H, a most ripping victory.
Akeem.
It was Akeem. You did very well, considering. When was the last time you watched that movie?
Late 80s.
I probably watched it in the 90s. That was probably the last
time. It might
be
90s, but I have not seen that in 25 years.
I know we had that on video, taped off the television, of course.
Sure.
Ads included, because who can be bothered as a parent to pause those? But, yeah. If you would like to send in a quiz, you can do that to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and all fun will be had.
Try and stump us.
Like that one.
Yeah, that one. Oftentimes I'm quick on the on the draw with the quizzes, but that one I had to think.
That was thanking. Oh. All right, on that note, that's going to be the end. Until next week, Tom, thank you very much.